right? We got a lot of different things coming at you today, okay? And I'm just sensing a little bit of a lull right now. We don't got time for that. All right, let's go. Crank it, let it cross. Woo!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
You're listening to Rock Chalk Sports Talk with Nick Schwert on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN.
What's happening? Welcome in. It is Rock Chalk Sports Talk on the new FM 1017 and 1320 KLWN. I'm Nick Schwert. We are happy to have you with us on a lovely Tuesday afternoon. Derek Johnson in studio with me. And this is the last, potentially the last, like, real show we do this week because the Big 12 tournament baseball starts down in Oklahoma City tomorrow. KU and TCU get underway at 4 o'clock, and we'll have that game. And as long as they last, we're going to have all of those games. Do you understand postseason baseball in general? Because to me, it is the most confusing format in all of sports, postseason college baseball.
It is kind of confusing. I think I got it down to a T. But, I mean, I don't know if you want me to explain it because that could take, like, a whole class. Like, you should probably have to go to college to figure it out.
It's like quantum physics, yeah, trying to figure out how postseason baseball works. But all I know is from what I learned from Brian Haney yesterday is that if an appearance in the title game for KU would spell a potential tournament berth. But it is insane to me that, like, when you look at how they finish the season, they get swept by Texas Tech, who's, what, a top four team in the country, that a series sweep in baseball of all sports could be the difference between KU being a four seed and then being the seven seed in the Big 12. And that could potentially cost Rich Price, the Big 12 coach of the year. It just doesn't make much sense to me that a handful of games. I get it. It's baseball. That's kind of how it works. And the rules are the same every single year. But, I mean, you're KU. You had a rough start to the year. You all of a sudden make this huge surge halfway through the season. Rich Price is one of the front runners for Big 12 coach of the year. But you get swept by a top five team in the country, and now all of a sudden it's going to be really hard for him to win that award. Doesn't make much sense to me. But that's what's coming your way tomorrow. And tomorrow is actually the 45 minutes that we're going to be on air is the last you're going to hear of me this week, because then I leave for bachelor party. 3 years, three bachelor parties, man. I'm knocking them out every single summer.
Starting to think these are fake.
I got two more friends who just got engaged within the last month.
You're next.
So spell a couple more batch parties coming up next summer. But here's the dilemma that we've reached. The bachelor is in Minneapolis, and we're doing the bachelor party in Wisconsin, which simple geography would tell you is a next-door neighbor to the state of Minnesota, where Minneapolis happens to be. So we're picking him up on Thursday, and we're going to play a round of golf in Minneapolis before making the trek over to Wisconsin. It's about a five-hour drive. But the bachelor has not been playing much golf lately, so he wanted to brush up on his skills over the weekend. We all just got a massive group text today. Picture of the bachelor's hand, which is covered in blisters and blood. And he informs us that he spent the weekend hitting over 1,200 golf balls at the range. His hand is destroyed, and he said we may have to cancel the round on Thursday, which, by the way, was prepaid for, and it's like a nice golf course, so it's pretty expensive. And so we're potentially looking at having to cancel 8 tee times, you know, like $600, $700 worth of golf because the bachelor destroyed his hand, which, by the way, sidebar, is so moronic that you would think that that's like the solution to having a good time this weekend is destroying your hand at the golf range just so you can shave maybe a stroke or two off your score on Thursday.
I'm guessing he's the guy who would cram for tests the night before.
Yeah, I guess so. But the question becomes, it is his bachelor party, and this weekend is all about him in theory. Do we cancel the bachelor? Do we cancel the golf outing so that we can spend time with him? Or do we just tell him, you know what? You just stay at home. We'll go play the golf, and then we'll pick you up after.
No, I think you have him come with you, but if he doesn't want to play, he doesn't play. You can still have fun, kind of roaming around, talking with the boys, you know, down a couple.
Why should we have to suffer
yes.
because of his idiocracy,
exactly.
right?
Well, and for all you know, maybe he's pulling your leg. Maybe he's just joking.
I really hope so, man. Because what an idiot you would be for, like, doing that 4 days prior to the start of the Bachelor. It's not like you're trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. Well, it's a bachelor party round of golf.
If you had 1,200 balls, like, don't you think at, like, ball 800, your hands would start to blister and start to cut then?
I guess.
Like if they were as bad, as poorly, in as poor of shape as you're describing, I mean, you got to think that at some point he recognized the injury here. He diagnosed
right.
it, and apparently he just didn't stop.
And if you ever go to the golf range and, like, hit balls, you understand that, like, after ball 70, mm-hmm. you're getting exhausted. Because in an average round of golf, if you're an average golfer, you're going to hit 90, 100, 110 shots in a round. Your arms are going to be tired after that. Like, I played 36 holes on Sunday. I was exhausted afterwards. To think that you could go out and hit 1,000 balls, which would be the equivalent of, what, 8 or 9 rounds of golf for the average person? Like, what good do you think is going to come of that? So I'm with you. I think we just throw him in the cart and pour alcohol down his throat until he forgets about the pain in his hands. It's 311 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. So we talked about this a little bit yesterday. The Josh Jackson, Mackenzie Calvert saga appears to be over. The terms of Jackson's diversion were released by Jesse Newell and the Kansas City Star yesterday. And it seems as though if he's able to comply with all of the stipulations in his diversion, which include abstaining from alcohol or recreational drugs for 12 months, he has to complete 20 hours of community service, he has to write an apology letter to Mackenzie Calvert. And there's a few other things as well. But if he's able to complete all of those things in the next 12 months, then this is officially going to go in the rearview mirror when it comes to all of the charges that were at least levied against him. But now that this is over, if it is, if we can indeed put this in the rearview mirror, how do you think it's going to affect Jackson's lasting legacy at Kansas? Because everything that happened on the court was really good. Like, in terms of a basketball legacy, you couldn't have done it much better in terms of a one-and-done player than what Josh Jackson did. Like, outside of being Kevin Durant or Michael Beasley, like, Josh Jackson is probably, at least in the conversation amongst the top 10, top 15 one-and-done players of all time. Like, when I say all time, it's really only speaking about the last decade or so. But that's how good this guy was. But you can't take the good without taking the bad, and there are undoubtedly some bad qualities to the one season, the Jackson spin at Kansas, and none of them had anything to do with basketball. I wonder 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how we're going to look back on it when I say Josh Jackson, how you're going to look back and remember his 1 year at Kansas, because I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, you know what, he did some really good stuff on the court, and that's all that really matters, because whether or not this completely goes away and we stop talking about it forever, it was a major storyline that carried on throughout the entirety of the season, and it didn't just affect Josh Jackson, it affected the entire team, it affected Bill Self, because they were constantly being asked questions about it. I just wonder what we're going to be thinking, what we're going to be saying about this 5-10 years from now.
I don't know that we're going to recognize it specifically to Josh Jackson, though. I think when we look back on it and say, oh, you remember 2016-17, that team who had Frank Mason and Josh Jackson, you're like, yeah, that was an awesome team to watch. Man, were there a lot of off-the-court, I don't know if you want to say issues or just rumors or things that happened, whatever you want to call it. I think we're just going to see it as a whole and kind of peg it as really all those things just kind of put together. I don't necessarily think we're going to look back on this in 10 years when Josh Jackson's been in the NBA for a decade and go, man, what a basketball player. Remember when he was at Kansas? And then go, oh, wait, didn't something bad happen?
315 Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. What I think is an interesting aspect of this is one thing that we heard Bill Self say all year long was that Josh really unpacked his bags, right? Like, he bought into everything that was being preached to him, and he didn't use this as just a, hey, I'm only going to be here for a couple months, so it doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to be a top five pick no matter what. No, he really bought into the system and bought into the championship mentality that everybody at Kansas buys into every single year. And he didn't directly compare him to anybody else, whether it was Andrew Wiggins or Kelly Oubre or Cheick Diallo, whoever else you want to throw into that conversation. But when you think about all those guys, let's just look in terms of Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre. Those guys, Cheick Diallo, Cliff Alexander, I don't know if they unpacked their bags. Certainly nobody did it to the extent of Josh Jackson. But that entire issue with Mackenzie Calvert at the Yacht Club and her throwing a drink in LeGerald Vick's face, if you're a guy who doesn't unpack your bags, if you're a guy who does view college as just a 6 or 7 month stopgap before you are making millions of dollars in the professional ranks, that doesn't happen. If you're just here because you're obligated to go to college for a year, the incident at the Yacht Club doesn't happen because you're probably not there. And even if you are, you're probably not sticking up for your boy. You're probably not going to see a drink go into your teammate's face and go, you know what? I need to step in and do something about this. Because if you're viewing college as a stopgap the way you know so many guys do, you don't care. You don't care that this guy just got a drink thrown in his face. Because you're going to say, you know what? That was messed up, and he's my teammate, and I feel like I should stick up for him. But then again, I'm going to be out of here in a couple months. He won't. That's his problem. I've got more things to worry about. I've got an NBA career to worry about. So, like, I'm sure LeGerald Vick, you know what? If LeGerald Vick were being honest with you, I'm sure he would tell you, I am so glad that my teammate had my back. It may have got him in trouble, and it may have opened up an absolute bleep storm on this guy's life, but he had my back, and he stuck up for me, and that means a lot. And who knows what other guys in the program were saying, what other guys on the team were saying about it behind closed doors. Maybe they were saying, you know what, man? We've never seen, we've seen lots of one-and-done players come through here. If you're Frank Mason, you played with Andrew Wiggins, you played with Joel Embiid, you played with Cheick Diallo and Kelly Oubre and Cliff Alexander, all these guys. But we've never seen a guy come in of your stature and ingratiate himself with the team the way that you did. And as stupid and as dumb as it may sound, it may have earned him some credibility inside that locker room, sticking up for his teammate, even though it got him in a world of trouble. And it was clearly an ill-advised, idiotic thing for him to do. But that's the kind of the catch-22 that you had with Josh Jackson, is that, yes, he did unpack his bags. Maybe a little bit too much, you know? Maybe he didn't unpack his bags too much. Maybe it did get him in a little bit of trouble.
Wasn't that a perfect metaphor for his game on the court, though, too? Kind of in a sense, he was just so talented, unbelievably good. But there were times when, I mean, you think of the technicals or the arguing, the shouting matches you would get in with referees. It's kind of that same situation, and it just kind of breathed outside the court as well.
Yeah, I think that you wouldn't ever say that you don't want a guy to unpack his bags. And I hate that we just keep using that over and over again, but to really buy into the college experience and understand that even though you're only going to be there for a handful of months, you can still act like college basketball is the most important thing in your life for those couple of months. And not everybody does it. Josh Jackson was the rarity. And as more one-and-dones continue to come through this program, you shouldn't expect any of them to act the way Josh Jackson did on the court, because it's not as though there are guys all over the country that are doing what he did this past year. There's some, but most don't, because most understand that in the grand scheme of things, college basketball is going to be a very small piece of the pie when it comes to the totality of their basketball careers. And unfortunately for Jackson, a very small piece of his pie is going to be tainted by some really, really bad decisions that he made off the court. And I think we're still going to be saying that 5-10 years from now. It's 20 after Rock Chalk Sports Talk, New FM 101.7, 1320 KLWN. Matt Tate joins us coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Coming up next, the Warriors did something that's never been done before in the NFL, backtracking, putting the fun back in the NFL. It's Rock Chalk Sports Talk.